We human beings are social creatures. We're designed for relationship, and we're built for developing relationships. In fact, we survive based on relationships, and we establish our sense of identity through our relationships. You could say that we're actually made of relationships. None of us can do anything alone, although many of us try. I like to say that love is simple. But it gets very complicated as soon as a human being comes into the picture. We are confused about love, but it's not love that's confusing. It's the conditioning and the programming that we got when we were growing up that's confusing. As I said before, we learned about love from our parents. We saw how they treated each other and how they treated us. They were our models of excellence. We patterned ourselves after them. We learned what love is by watching them carefully from the time we were born. And most of them, frankly, weren't very good role models. Now, if you were one of the lucky people who had parents who loved well, congratulations. You won't have much work to do today. If you're one of the many people whose parents had some ability to love, but they had a lot of neuroses mixed in, you're more typical. Your experience of love was colored or tainted by your parents' psychological wounds, their emotional reactions, their insecurities, and their inability to love, which probably came from their parents' inability to love. They gave it their best shot. They were really doing the best they could. But for most of us, their love was mixed in with patterns of abandonment, rejection, contempt, anger, frustration, criticism, and for some of us, physical or emotional abuse. Now, as a child, you took it all in. You said, oh, that's what love is. Now, children have a couple of real problems. The first is they cannot think to themselves, wow, mom and dad are really screwed up. They don't even know how to love themselves or each other, let alone me. They really need some psychoeducation and some therapy. I guess I'm just a good person caught in a bad situation. Now, children, of course, don't have the experience or education to know that. And there's a second problem on top of that. Children cannot threaten the survival bond that they have with their parents. They're dependent on those people, so they can't judge them as bad or wrong. If they did judge their parents as bad or wrong, they could get thrown out to the wolves. Our survival instinct is so strong that we'll do anything to survive. We'll wrap ourselves around those people, the ones we're dependent on. We'll do anything, we'll be anything to survive. Now, this results in one of the greatest tragedies of human culture, in my opinion. When things go badly, children always turn it on themselves. Instead of saying, they have a real problem, the child says, I am the problem. They come to conclusions like, if I've been abandoned, there must be something wrong with me. If I'm being punished, I must have done something wrong. If my parents are arguing, I am at fault. Children don't know and cannot figure out that the suffering in their family is not being caused by them. So we learn what love is and what love isn't, and what love does and what love doesn't do by watching our parents, and this is how we take on false beliefs about love. When we're not cared for as an infant, or if we're abused at the extreme, we take on false beliefs about who we are and how love is supposed to work. So let's find out what you came to understand and believe about love and about relationships. So get out your pencil or keyboard and ask yourself, what do I believe about love? Write down whatever comes to your mind first, and then ask the question again, what do I believe about love? Keep writing, keep asking the question, and write down everything that comes to mind. It's kind of like a brain dump. You're just trying to get out whatever's inside. And by the way, it's okay if you have some contradictory or opposing beliefs. We all do. You want to document all of your beliefs about love. So each time you ask the question to your subconscious mind, it opens up another layer and another layer and another layer. That's why repeating the question is useful. Now we're going to move on now. So if you want to keep writing anywhere along the way, just turn the recording off and start it up again when you're ready. Now write down whatever comes to mind when you say to yourself, love is blank. And just fill in the blank, whatever comes to mind, and then say it over and over again, love is blank, and write down everything that comes to mind. These are all beliefs that you have, even if you don't believe some of them. And now ask the question, what do I believe that has held me back or limited me from the free flow of love in my life? And feel free to adjust the question for yourself if there's a better way to phrase it for you. So you might get answers in words or pictures. You might get memories or sensations or feelings. Whatever you get, just write it down and then ask the question again. What do I believe that has held me back or limited me from the free flow of love in my life? And now ask, what else do I believe about love? You may suddenly remember something that happened, or an experience or a feeling. And when that happens, ask an additional question, which is, what did I conclude from that experience? Okay, now ask the question, what do I believe about loving others? Think about the relationships that have been problematic in the past or have held you back in some way. What do you believe about those other people? What interferes with your ability to be open and loving? So ask the question, what do I believe about loving others? And write down whatever comes up. Now, if you're in a marriage or a partnership, you might want to ask, what do I believe about my spouse or my partner or my girlfriend or boyfriend? However you phrase it, what do I believe about them that might be holding me back or limiting me in some way? Write those answers down. You might have beliefs about yourself, like, I can't love. Or you might believe that it's about them, like they can't love me in the way I need to be loved. Whatever it is, that's okay. Just write it down. Now, as you repeat this exercise, deeper and deeper beliefs emerge because we have hundreds of beliefs about love and loving. You can keep doing this exercise until you feel like you've exhausted the supply and that there's no more left. Now, whenever you expose your subconscious beliefs to your conscious mind, you benefit in many ways. The first is that you're now conscious of something inside of you that might have been running you at the subconscious level. The second is that once a belief is conscious, you get to decide, is this belief still serving me? And if not, you can choose to discard it with a clear beliefs process. There's as many beliefs about love and relationships as there are relationships, because every relationship is different. You had a different relationship with your mother than you did with your father, and a different relationship with each of your siblings and friends and those you've dated or worked with. Every two people create a unique relationship. And although there's obviously major patterns we all tend to follow, there's also something unique about each one. Every significant relationship brings up its own beliefs and offers its own lessons, and each relationship can stimulate the old beliefs that you had in the past and bring them back up. When you look at the problems that people have in their relationships, you can say that there's one thing that runs through more of them than anything else, and that is, we're confused about love. Healthy love is quite simple. All you need to do to figure that out is to think about love from a baby's perspective. Every infant who comes out of the womb wants the same things and needs the same things. to be looked at with love, to be held with love, to feel secure and safe, and to be nurtured and cared for. And when a baby gets that, they feel good. They feel love. That's what love is to a baby. And when a baby doesn't, it feels bad. So if you got that kind of secure love from your primary caregivers, you come to the conclusion that love is generous, it's consistent, it's reliable, it's caring, it's connecting. But most of us don't get that kind of love and nurturance from our parents. They were busy. They were not fully present for us. So in this case, love feels like a deficit. It feels like a lack, like something's missing. It's like an unmet hunger or irritation or incompleteness. It might feel like the shame that comes up when you're rejected or the panic you feel when you're abandoned. It feels terrible. And to a child in this condition, this is what love feels like. And you know what happens, right? That person grows up and seeks out that feeling again with their partner. Why? Because it's familiar. And the word comes from the word family. If that's what love is, you want more of that. And this is the cycle that most of us have experienced. Our parents didn't know how to love us, and we don't know how to love our partners, and we create a lot of suffering in our relationship. And if we have children, we might do a little better than our parents, but we pass on some of those patterns to them, and so it goes, generation after generation of unhealthy love, perpetuating over and over again. The good news is we can break this cycle by changing our beliefs. We can learn what love is and how to practice it with our partner. And when you do, you suddenly start getting the love you've always wanted. I'd like you to try something right now. I'm going to ask you to imagine that you're an infant, only a few days or a few weeks old. What I'm going to do is say some phrases, and I'd like you to imagine that they're being said by your parents. You'll probably want to close your eyes, take a couple of deep breaths, and picture yourself being held by both of your parents. You're in their strong arms, you're very tiny, and they're looking right down into your beautiful little face with kind, loving eyes. Now, if you have difficulty imagining this with your parents, imagine that your parents were ideal parents, that they were magically transformed into perfect parents for you. And if you can't do that, imagine being held by the Mother Goddess and the Father God, who are holding you with divine perfections, and they're beaming their love light right down into you. Now, the messages I'm about to give you, we all need to hear, even now as adults. As a little baby, you won't understand the words, but you can feel the messages. You can feel the intention that the words convey. So feel what happens inside of you as you take in these messages. Again, picture being held by your ideal parents, either your biological parents or your adoptive parents, or feel held by the Mother Goddess and Father God. They're smiling down at you, completely happy with who you are. And hear them say these words and feel these words coming to you, filling you up and settling into you. We see you and we recognize you. You are a brand new precious being here on earth. You are already whole and complete, and you are perfect. There is nothing you need to do. We will take care of you. Relax and let life live through you. Let the joy of being alive live through you. You can share in our delight that you are here with us. You are safe. We are holding you. And at this stage, you don't know how to control your little body, but you'll learn to do so. And as a learning being, you'll learn many things, and learning is a joy and delight. We're going to take care of you and help you as you learn and grow and play. We'll nurture you and we'll care for you and we'll make a safe space for you to explore the world. And one day you'll learn how to care for yourself just as we do. There's no hurry. You're right on time. Everything that's happening is okay. We know that being in that little body can be uncomfortable sometimes. We're here to care for you when that happens and bring you back into a comfortable place so you can rest and be in the joy of being alive. You are our top priority. We're dedicated to meeting your needs until you learn how to meet your own needs. We're here with you, and we're not going to go away. And if it ever appears to you that we're not here, know that we're nearby, watching over you to make sure you're happy and safe. You'll have lots of other people around you who are also wise and loving and will care for you and play with you and love you. Whenever you let us know that you're in discomfort or distress, we'll be there to make it better for you. And any way you communicate is just fine. We want to know whatever you have to say. We'll learn your language and we'll teach you ours so we can communicate more easily. We're going to care for all of your needs. And if you ever need space to be alone, we'll let you have that space. Yet we'll also be nearby in case you need us. We love you, always and forever. And know that we're being held by an even greater divine love. And that love is always holding us and us holding you, even when you can't feel us holding you. We will protect you from harm. You can count on us to do that. You can just relax and take your time to feel pleasure and to learn and grow and play. That's your only job. We know who you are. We love you just the way you are. You don't have to do anything except be your delightful self. We will always care for you. Forever and ever. Let these words carve their way deep into your heart and into your body and your brain, your nervous system. This is what every child wants to hear, and it's what we all should have heard. This is the healthy expression of love. So take a minute and let those feelings settle into yourself, and I'll be back momentarily. Okay, as you're emerging back from that delicious, warm, and creamy state, I want to share an important insight for your happiness and for your joy for the rest of your life. We never outgrow the need to be loved this way. The best relationships produce this feeling in both people. It's called secure functioning, and we call it healthy love. The good news is you can rewire your brain and your mind and your behavior toward healthy love. And here's a place to start the rewiring process. You have an inner child inside of you. Our inner children also need to hear these words that they didn't get when you were small. You can say these things to that little child inside of you. Take a moment to do that now. Just reach down inside of you and pick up your inner infant or your inner child, however she or he appears to you. And if you don't have contact with your inner child, simply imagine yourself at about 6 months or 1 year of age, and imagine lifting that young child up into your arms and communicate these kinds of words to them. I'll give you a minute to do that. Okay, now bring yourself back to normal everyday consciousness. Open your eyes if they've been closed and look around at the world. Does it look any different? Here's another way of rewiring your brain and changing your world. Begin to say words like this to other people in your life. Treat them this way, the way ideal parents treat their children. This is how you can rewire your brain for love and rewire your world for more love. The sad truth is, most of us didn't get this ideal kind of love. We got something else. We got something that felt insecure or separating or abandoning. Sometimes it was brutal. Sometimes it was kind of needy and sucky or selfish or manipulative or controlling. Whatever kind of dysfunction your parents suffered, that dysfunction was alloyed with their love. You got kind of an amalgam, love mixed with something else that wasn't healthy. And because your mind was a little open computer taking in whatever the program was, you believed that that was love. So you spent the rest of your life reproducing it. And when you look back and investigate your history, you may see that in some way you invested a lot of time and energy and trying to reproduce that same dysfunctional form of love, even if it was insecure or neurotic or even destructive. Our beliefs about love from our childhood impact our adult relationships in a very powerful way. What you concluded about love became the foundation of your beliefs and your experience about love and how it was supposed to look. For example, you might have learned, "It's my job to make them happy," or "to love is to criticize," or "relationships are based on the feeling of insecurity." After you learned about love from your parents, you learned about love from your siblings and your other relatives and your friends and their families, and then from your teachers and your rabbis or priests and from those that you dated and courted. You know, you got advice about love from your friends and from fairy tales and magazines and TV and movies. You know, you may have received hundreds of different beliefs about love and about how to relate to other human beings. Well, now, as a wise adult, you have the opportunity to go through those accumulated negative and limiting beliefs and delete the ones that don't serve you and replace them with beliefs that are healthy and empowering, that bring you the kind of love that you want in your life. Any pattern can be changed. The first step is to become aware of the pattern, and then understand the nature of the pattern and how it's impacting you and others. You also may have to feel some remorse for the harm that that pattern has caused to yourself and to other people. And then it takes a commitment to change. And it takes the clearing of the old beliefs that were at the core of the pattern. Then it takes action in the form of practice of new behaviors. So practice integrates the awareness that you've gained and the changes that you made with your action and behavior in the world. And then the cycle is begun anew. And then you get feedback from others so that you keep learning, and it goes over and over, back and back, clearing out more stuff, changing your behavior, honing your new skills and behaviors until you finally achieve satisfaction and the good results that you wanted in the first place. Now, it's much simpler to do all this when you clear out your beliefs first and install new beliefs. Then the actions and behaviors come out much more easily. You don't have to wrestle yourself into new actions or behaviors or beat yourself up when you fall into an old pattern. When you properly craft your new beliefs, they will naturally move you in the right direction. And because we have hundreds of beliefs about relationships and they're so deep in the subconscious mind, it may take 6 months or 2 years or even more to completely reprogram your brain, to rewire your old relationship patterns. This is what it takes to change any deep behavior pattern and to rewire the brain. And it can be done. Now, you can try to do it by changing your behavior first, and that can sometimes work, but it's not as efficient as changing your beliefs first. And as I said, we're all confused about love. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken or flawed. You're a spectacular human being, and your soul is stunningly beautiful. You're just confused because you got some bad programming. So even the bad things you've done in the past and the people you've hurt, you know, it's just part of your learning process. Change your behavior and start making it good again. So you can stop beating yourself up and you can focus on rewiring your beliefs and deleting the ones that don't serve you any longer. It's important to remember that the beliefs you had actually served you at one time. So for example, when you accepted your parents' beliefs about love, this helped you align with them. So they accepted you into the family. So you survived. That's why we're so easily programmed. We actually want to become like our parents so we can survive. If we're too different, they might just leave us out in the forest to starve or be eaten. So this is deprogramming. It's at the core of our animal consciousness. So there's nothing bad about your taking on other people's beliefs. It's completely natural, and it helped you stay alive. The question is now, what beliefs will take you into the next phase of your life, where you get to have healthy, satisfying connections with other people? Are you showing up in your relationships that way? If not, there's probably a few beliefs that you need to clear. So the earliest beliefs were formed before you had language, so they're sometimes hard to articulate in words. You learned what love is before you had words. However, you can use words to approximate those feelings. So I'd like you to try a few beliefs out by feeling them in your body. That's how you tell an old belief is there, as you feel your body. Notice whether it rings true to you or not. See if they resonate when I say them. It'll feel like, oh yeah, that's true, I have that in your body, or it won't. So I'm going to give you a number of beliefs, and again, use your body rather than your mind to feel what it feels like to hold this belief. Take it on and feel as if it's 100% true. And if it's true for you, add the beliefs to your belief list. So here we go. You might want to be in front of your paper or computer to do this piece. So feel what it feels like to hold the belief, love is unpredictable. Sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. If that rings true for you, write it down. Love is dangerous. I can get hurt or betrayed. If that's true, write it down. Love is missing or absent. I feel abandoned, left alone. Love is confusing. Sometimes it feels good and sometimes it feels bad. Love is safe. I feel secure in love. To be loved, I need to perform in some way. Or to be accepted, I need to perform. Love is uncomfortable. Sometimes I feel invaded or I feel suppressed. So using these beliefs as a starting point, think about what your own experience of what love is. What other beliefs are you carrying about love? take a few moments and write down anything you've discovered. Okay, now I'd like you to look over the list of beliefs about love that you've written down and highlight any that really jump out at you, the ones that really resonate strongly. They kind of go bong in your psyche. So go through them fairly quickly and put a star or circle the ones that feel really big, the ones that really get in your way. And do that now. Okay, now I'd like you to pick just one of them that you would like to clear out of your life. Now you'll be able to come back and do the others one at a time by listening to the recording over and over. So just pick the first one you want to reprogram. Any of the highlighted ones will do. So circle the belief that you're going to work with as you enter your belief closet. So now that you've chosen the one belief to work with, I'd like you to focus on it and begin to feel it. And remember back through your life to see the impact that it's had throughout your life. Because of this belief, who did you get into a relationship with? Who didn't you reach out to or connect with, even though you wanted to, because of this belief? Did this belief produce fear or anxiety in your life? How did this belief affect your image of yourself? How did it affect your self-esteem? How did this belief affect your sexuality and your ability to feel pleasure? What kind of desires did this belief produce in you? What actions did you take or not take because of this belief? What happened in your relationships as a result of this belief? Now, without blaming yourself or making yourself wrong for having this belief, recognize that it's had an impact on you and your relationships throughout your life. When you change this belief, you can change your life and change your relationships from this point forward.